Well, we did move the houses yesterday, so that was a big move. And I don't think that they want me to move any more houses or any more things, because it's a lot. I think the last big one we moved was when we moved the mill ministry from one building to another, and that was huge itself. Moving is no easy task with the ministries that we do. So again, as Phil said earlier, thank you for those who came out and helped. And we were able to get that done for the most part. But this morning, I want you to turn to your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 10. I want to share with you this morning the importance of going to church. There's always been people do this, but there's a growing movement where we don't need the church anymore. That I can be a believer and I can see it at home. I can believe in God, do my thing at home. And I do want to remind you that we are not called to do this alone. But a lot of people are just wanting to stay at home and do church there. There are times when people that are sick and elderly that need to stay at home or whatever it is because of illness and things that like that in their life that causes them where they can't leave. It takes a whole lot for them even to leave a home. Especially this even took off really even after COVID, and people continue to do it. We're going to talk about church attendance this morning. So going to church is an important thing. But I want to read a couple of stats to you this morning. But before we go, I want to pray. Father, Lord, just open our hearts today that we may grow in your word today, that we may understand and know that going to church to worship you is important. It is a major piece and part of a Christian's life. And I pray, Father, you open our hearts and our ears that we may hear it today and take it in and maybe change our life, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. I want to just share with you some stats here. So I've been, as I've grown a Christian over time in pastoring and ministries, numbers are not everything, but they do mean things. And so 20% of Americans attend church each week. That's what they say, up or down a few, but 20%. But it's amazing that 70-80% of Americans believe they claim to be believers, but you can't find them in a local church. 41% of Americans are in a monthly church attendance or more, and 57% Americans are seldom, or some of you are. I can tell when I walk around, I can hear people singing when I go back and forth, and I can hear people hacking, and their voices are changing, and we have people out, even Carla's out today because of allergies, and this is the season for it. So that's why, don't get upset if I don't sing sometimes when I'm not singing, and people, because as a pastor, people stare at you sometimes, so it may look like I'm not singing because I'm trying to save my voice for this. And because I started to sing and then all of a sudden my voice started getting all scratching. So what we see here now is that we see the American has this piece where we want what God has to offer. We want that, but we don't want to put anything in it. We want to be a consumer. We want to be a consumer. A few years ago, I shared this morning in life group a little bit. If you was to go to some places in Africa, they would do church like this. They would come to bring themselves to a village, and when they get there, they start to begin. They would begin some prayer pieces. They would pray a little bit, and then somebody might break out into a song, and they pray a little bit more. And then, oh, here comes a preacher. Preacher will come in, and he'll preach a little while, and he'll sit down, and they'll do a little more music, and then they'll pray a little bit. Oh, hey, here's another preacher came in, if they can get another one. Or that same preacher gets up and preaches a second message, and they'll do that, and then they'll break for lunch together, if they even have that, and then they'll turn around, and they'll do a little more praying, a little more praising, and then they'll leave. It might be 3:00. Isn't it something? We tell ourselves we are so busy. Let me tell you, what you're busy about a lot of times would happen even if you aren't there. Okay? Yeah. And we are busy about the things that we want to be busy about. But with you as a regular attender, A regular attender back in the day would be someone that would come on every Sunday. They would be in church every Sunday unless they were on vacation or they were sick. Or if they had to work some odd shift or whatever it may be. And sometimes people do work on Sundays, but we have moved our Sunday night service to a Wednesday night service, so there's an opportunity for a Wednesday night service. But what we see here is that we've found out that through that people struggle anyways on being there. But we would say that a regular attendee would be like that. But now today, we would say a regular attendee now is a person who makes it to church once a month. You see, we keep lowering the bar. Where I think God in discipleship wants to raise the bar. But we keep lowering the bar. Because we want to make sure we feel good about ourselves. And so we struggle with that. But there is some good news. There is good news in it. 39% of millennials, if you're a millennial, you know your age group, some 30-year-olds, millennials are reporting that their weekly attendance has gone up to 21%, which is the highest since like 2019. So millennials are starting to pick it up on their end. There's a part of it where they're the fastest growing group that's leaving the church to a sense, but there's a bigger wave coming in to the church. So that's an interesting read. So we're looking here at over all of it, basically is this. There are congregations that are growing, but overall the church is declining in America. The church attendance is declining. But overall, it's declining, but there are churches that are growing. Some denominations are growing. Pentecostal, Charismatic, those kind of churches are the ones kind of growing the fastest right now. It reminds me what happened in the 70s, and then once that plays out, then you get into your conservative groups, and then they start. It's a cycle. But I want to share some reasons here. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, 24, and 25 this morning. But before we get there, I want to share some reasons why people stop going to church. There are some reasons. These are not in any specific orders. Many of these we've experienced here. But these are some reasons. Not all of them, but this is some major reasons. Number one, hurt feelings. That's the one. That's the number one across the board everywhere, though. Hurt feelings. You hurt my feelings. I'm not coming here no more. You hurt my feelings, and you've offended me, whether it's the pastor, whether it's the church, or whatever. We've had several of those types of people leave. Hurt feelings. Listen, when you grow in your walk with the Lord, I'm telling you, and you get in ministry, you start allowing God to do His purposes in your life, you got to grow some rhino skin because you're going to get cut, and you're going to get hurt, and you're going to have to face it. It's brutal. It's brutal because things are spiritual, not just in the flesh. It's brutal. You're going to have to be able to handle it. If you want to say, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you, you need to go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you watch how brutal it was for Jesus and His disciples. And then you can read the book of Acts, and you can see how brutal it was when the disciples became apostles. It was brutal, and it's not even that brutal for us, and we struggle with it. Hurt feelings. You offended me. You hurt my feelings. Listen, if anything, I've hurt God's feelings by the way I live my life before I know Him. And anyway, it's just amazing as you can look and see that, wow, you become a believer and you're a dad, you're a father, you can say, wow, I've hurt my family because I should have come to Christ way before the time I did so that I might be the man that God wanted me to be to raise my family in a godly way. So here we find out, really, that people come to a place where they just get their hurt feelings hurt. I know we all have feelings, and people say things, I just say, well, Lord, let that one pass, that's okay. And hopefully you forgive me so we can keep on doing the Lord's business because Satan wants to get into that and cause issues. It's not going to go to the park, take your basketball, and you get mad, and then you take the ball, and everybody else is standing there because it was your ball, and you got mad because you didn't like something, and you left. People do it all the time. They do it all the time. And then what happens? And they go plop themselves, and they go over here and plop in this church, and they didn't like it over there, and they talk bad about it. Listen, we got people that talk bad about us all the time. I just saw one on Facebook yesterday. You know what? Go do your thing. This is what I say. Where is God working? And where you see God working, you're going to see turmoil. You're going to see a little roughness. You're going to see some things because Satan's in the midst of that working. Who he works in with the most? He works with people. He works through people. Listen, Hurt feelings. This depends on what that is. Sometimes you got to agree to disagree and say, you know, that's a doctrinal issue that I can work with and work through and work around, but it's not one that I'm gonna. And there's times when you got to make sure your theology, you know, is right. You're a certain way, and you go to a denominational church, and you're gonna struggle if they believe that baptism saves, and you're saying no, baptism doesn't save. You're gonna have issues there. That's extreme, okay? But there are people that will leave because of disagreement with leadership and direction of leadership, vision, those kind of things. Number three I had was children activities take first place on Sundays. Children activities, sports, family things happen all, and then everybody, and we all of a sudden we do one on a Sunday, which is okay, went on vacation, that's fine. But then we start doing everything on Sunday, travel ball. Listen, I've talked to pastors down in Mississippi, and one thing they cannot stand is travel ball. It takes them out, and then that's going to be done. And so basically, they find out that they lose a lot because of the Sunday activities. And back in the day, those things weren't happening, but now everything is kind of being pushed in on Sundays. Number four, life changes. People leave church because of life change. There's a move. People move. Okay, that's going to happen. People move, but sometimes they just move across town and they don't return back to church. A new job or new relationships. New relationships is a big one too. You're a believer. They're not a believer. They don't want to go to church. You know, all of a sudden, next thing you know, your church attendance goes from every week to once a month, then once every, and then next thing you know, it's Easter, it's Christmas, and then you just fell off. And another one is guilt. Guilt to people. Once people living in sin, they're living in sin. Christians are living in sin. They have some guilt, or they have some marriage issues. They will leave the church, and they just because of embarrassment or things that they just need to, their whatever it is, they will do that. And so, listen, I know some great people. For some of these reasons, where the church doesn't financially help someone, and someone gets mad, and they just leave the church. And so, those are just some horrible reasons. Things happen in life. I get it, but to walk away from it is not a good thing, because people never, their life, they think it's good, but it's not. So we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 10. Here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible's going to tell us some reasons. We need to stay together. Okay? We need to stay together. Okay? So, scriptures tell us in 13, verse 23. He says, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. We've got to remember that God is always faithful, even when we're not faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But we know that sometimes we are unfaithful, but God is awesome, and he is merciful and much grace, but he is always faithful. But our hope is without wavering. We need to know, here it is, it begins to say that we don't need to waver. We don't need to waver. We are not wavering our walk with him. Amen? We should not waver. Just because we're having a bad week doesn't mean we waver away from God. Bad weeks should draw us to God. Good weeks should draw us to God, not away from God. But he's talking about, hold on to that confession, that what you know, that salvation of your hope, knowing all that you have in Christ is the real deal. Your faith is there, and you believe it today, and you believed it yesterday, and you know with all your faith, you're going to believe it tomorrow. You've got to be strong in your walk. Churches are weak because the congregations are weak. Churches are strong because the congregation is strong. Okay, so you don't just need a strong preacher. You don't need just strong leaders. You need a strong congregation. You have to be a strong church, you have to have a strong congregation. And that is all of us together today. And there is a verse 24, he says, and let us watch out for one another to provide or to provoke love and good works. So here it is. Let us watch over one another. Yes, we are a brother's keeper. Yes, we are a brother's keeper. If you're not going to church and you're laying out and you're doing your own thing, how can you be your brother's keeper? How can you be? No, the people that want to go out and do their own thing and be in their own house and do those things, listen, you're not being effective for the gospel. You're probably not sharing the gospel. You're just living life. You're selfish. It's a selfish thing to do, is to be away from God's people. And here he says this, that we should watch out for one another. We should provoke what? We should provoke love and good works. There should be a great unity of love here in this building when we're here and when we're out doing our things together. There should be a great of love together, and there should be great works together. And we're trying to do those things here. We are not perfect in it, but we are working. To tell you, in my opinion, God is working here. God is doing amazing things here. God is doing amazing things here, and He gets all the credit for it. And so we're trying to do the pieces that we are called to do. Put it in love, and we are called to do good works, the works that He has set forth for us to do. You can either come to church and see what you have, what God has for you, and you can do that for 50 years. Or you can come to see what God has for you, take what He has for you, learn and grow and be discipled through it, and allow Him to do the good works through you. Or you can just be on your own and do your own thing. And when you do your own thing, listen, do your own thing, that means you're really, when we do our own thing, we're leading our own life. We're worshiping ourselves. We just say we have a relationship with God. I believe in God. There's a lot of people doing that, and it's just a mess. It is really a mess. So we need to make sure that we're doing these together, and we're expected. Your version might say, do not forsake the assembling together. We are not to walk away from the church. Do not forsake the assembling together. That's the King James Version. Where it is, do not neglect the gathering together. We are not called to leave the church. We are called to be together as believers. We are stronger together. And we are weak when we're apart. And we struggle. Because when you make the church a priority in your life, and you are going and you are worshiping, you know that you have that peace. Even when it comes to times of temptation, you know that I'm going to be going to church on Sunday. I'm going to be at church on Wednesday. I know that I've got some things I've got to do. How can I do those things if I'm living in sin myself? It says, not neglecting to gather together. But here's the sad part. As some are in the habit of doing. He says that some people are in the habit of doing that. They just don't go. They have neglected. They have walked away from the church for some of those reasons that we talked about. Here, I want to share some reasons here why we should go to church. Number one, we come to church to worship God. Amen? We should come to church to worship God. How do we worship God? How does a group of people worship God? Well, a group of people worship God, first of all, by gathering themselves together in unity for a purpose, a general purpose. And that is the uplifting of the name of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is. People come in with different ideas and thoughts, but Jesus is still the same. God is still the same. Holy Spirit is still the Spirit of God, and He moves in those, and He dwells inside of the believers. And we gather ourselves together to worship Him. And in that, we come and we worship together by praying. So some of us don't, but we are singing. And some people say, I sing, I'm singing from my heart, I'm singing, whatever. And some people say, I'm not singing, I'm praying, whatever it is. You know what they're doing? They're worshiping. There we're worshiping together. Well, I've heard people say, well, I can do that in my car. Of course you can do that in your car. You can flip on your favorite gospel song or whatever it is, your worship song, and you can do your thing, and you can do all this in the car. Just don't do this. Do this. You can do all of that as you go down the road. You can do all of that. But that's great moments. I've been there. But when we do it together, it's an encouraging piece. So we need to make sure that when we come together, we're worshiping God. When we do it, we're praying together. We're also fellowshipping together. Another reason is it was fellowship and community. We have community together. Listen, if you don't get with this group, you're probably going to get with another group. And that other group is probably not going to be so good. And some of you know you were in that other group, and then you left that group, and then you became part of the group. It's a group of people. It's funny to me how downtown is. It's really the way of the world. We allow bars to be everywhere downtown, but don't put a church downtown. Don't put a church downtown. I think it's another part that someone passes away. We're going to be here. 90% of us, 80% of us are going to be there. If it's a person that the church knows, and that person passes away, we're going to be together, and we're going to rejoice on those people who have. We're going to have sorrow when we lose someone. We're going to be there together, and we're going to do it together. We're going to work through that together. When people have babies or get married, we're going to rejoice together. And there's a place of that. So there's fellowship and community together. You don't have to do life alone. I don't think God wants us to do life alone. He wants us to do it in the amongst of the family, the brothers, lonely. Knew a lady that was a pretty heavy drinker. She used to go down to a bar downtown in a place down on Wells Street. She'd do a lot of drinking. Everybody was her friend. Everything goes on. And then she ends up, one day she falls off the bar stool and she lays there. Oh, she's just drunk. No, she didn't. She died. She just laid there. She's drunk. She's laying there. Had a funeral and nobody goes. But in that bar room, we're all buddies. And in the funeral, they just had a moment, there was nobody there, and they just put her in some plot out in the graveyard. But when you pass away and you're a part of the church, we're going to be there. Because it's real. We're family. Because we know the promises of God, amen? But for people who think that, oh, we're this, we're that, we're in this group, we're in that group, it's not as strong as people think it is. The fellowship and community is not as strong as they think they are. Also, when we come to church, we go to church also to serve. And by using, we come to serve. We don't just come to receive. But when we start growing, we learn that God gives spiritual gifts and talents to people. And we use those for the uplifting of His kingdom and the church. So we come to serve. And we learn to serve in the church by using the spiritual gifts. So I say to people that are at home, never coming to church, what do you do with your spiritual gifts? You're kind of doing what the scripture says when you buried them on the ground. You buried them in the ground. You didn't use them. God wants to use, and He's given you all at least one spiritual gift, and you're to use it in the church for the other edifying and knowledge of the Word. We need to keep doing that. So many people here say, I just get bored reading the Bible. Let me tell you, sometimes you get a job at home and you don't want to dig a hole. You don't want to cut a tree down. You don't want to do it anyway. Get in there and read it. I'm telling you, you can end up with a desire and a hunger for the Lord's the Word. Just start doing something. You need to educate. Go to that life group class. This church struggles with life group. Let me tell you why. Let me say, we struggle with life group. Here's the thing. People love to love God, but they don't love to know God. They have a desire to love God, but they don't have a desire to know about it. Because when you know about Him, you're going to realize that you ain't all what you think that you are. And He's going to call some things out in your life that He don't like. He's going to make adjustments, and you're thinking it's all mean and harsh. But what He's doing, He's setting you up for to use you down here, down around the corner. He wants to use you for something that you can never do on your own. He's just prepping you. He's ready to use you going to life group. A life group class on Sunday, which is more of a Sunday school class. Most churches back in the day could do 75%, 80%. But we've always struggled. You'll never know enough about God's Word. You got to keep learning. You got to be a student of the Word. You have to be a student of the Word. That is a piece, and you get it in the church house. Another reason we go to church is for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. It's one thing to have a problem in your life, but it's another to continue to have problems over and over and over and over and over. We make this a lot of times. Let me tell you, people who come to church I'm just telling you, when we go to church on a regular basis, this is when I tell you that you're spiritually strong. Okay. When you don't think that. You just know, I'm going to go. But when you sit there, I don't know if I'm going to go today. I don't know if I want to go today. I don't know. Listen, you're spiritually struggling. You're spiritually weak. You're working. You need to have that moment where you just need to say, I'm done with that. That is a part of my life. This is who I am. Jesus died for me. I have salvation. I'm going to give back. I can't give back all that God gave to me. I just can't. But I'm going to give what I got. I'm going to give what I got. And I got this time. And all it is a couple hours on a Sunday morning. That's it. And we struggle with that because we are greedy. We want every moment. Well, you don't understand. I work every day. I've worked 5 days a week. A lot of people work 5 days a week. A lot of people work 6 days a week. And there's some people who work 7 days a week. You're out this whole thing? Yeah, there's a time. They're infants in Christ. They're growing. It's expected. There's going to be moments when they get challenged. There's going to be moments when they step in. But listen, if you're not careful, anything and everything will take your worship away. Listen, John 10:10 says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's not just physical. It's steal, kill, and destroy your time from God, who you are, God's investment in you, all of that. Another one is this community. We're not built to do this alone. We're just not built to do this alone. Talked about that. Encouragement. When we come together, we are called to encourage. Now listen, we are not called to be gossipers, but we are called to be encouragers. We are called to encourage, uplift one another. There are so many times when you come into the church, some of you could say, yep, as was me. I came into church feeling this low, but I'm telling you, God really worked on me through the service, whatever it was. I was singing this one song, this one line, just three are gathered in His name. The Lord is there. Amen. And so we know the Holy Spirit will encourage, and we are to be an encouragement to one another. Because He says this, but not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing. He says, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So we are also to be walking witnesses in this world as we go to church. When we go up and go to church, I drive down First Street every Sunday, every day pretty much. But on Sundays, I drive down, and the side streets are the most, there are more cars on Sunday morning down off of the side streets of First Street. Everybody's home. They're not working, they're not doing anything, but they're home. What are they doing? I'm sleeping in. I'm doing my thing. One or two things it tells me. One, there's a lot of believers that are backslidden. That's an old word. And they're just not going. Or there's just a bunch of lost people. Or they do church at 11. Church, I'm telling you, they're weak in their faith. They end up in some type of sin most of the time. Not that they're doing a sin. Now they're starting to live unrighteously. And they drift off. And they can get offended when you start bringing up things of God. Yeah. Another thing is, when we go to church, why we should go to church is, I don't want to miss the blessings of God. What blessings are you talking about? When God is salvations? The blessings of others being baptized? The blessings of someone tell you, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life this week. The blessings of others sharing their blessings of their life where they get to share what's going on with them. And sometimes you don't want to miss the blessings, though. Sometimes there's just maybe one song out of, you don't want to miss those blessings. Because that extra 2 hours sleep is not really that much at all, is it? No. No. Sometimes sleep is overrated. If you can get it. Church attendance, I think, is important, and God wants us to have church attendance. Luke chapter 2 tells us this, that Jesus was 12 years old and his family went off to do the ceremonial things as a festive. And some things were happening, and I just want to share something. After 3 days, they found him. 3 days they couldn't find Jesus. Could you imagine that? 3 days you couldn't find your son? 3 days you couldn't find your kid? It says, after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting. When Mary saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, son, why have you treated us like this, right? That's what you're going to say. What'd you take off for, right? It says, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. That's what you would do. You'd be searching for him, right? In verse 49, we find some letters in red. And these would be words that Jesus is going to say. This is what he says. Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house? At the age of 12, Jesus says, Didn't you know I needed to be in my Father's house? And if Jesus needed to be in the house of God, who is all perfect, sinless, the Son of God, where do you think we need to be? You go home, take a shower, whatever it is, or you go back to the barracks, take a shower, and all that's all done. Sometimes you had to be out at 4:30 in the morning. But here it is, at 6 a.m., there was what they call would be roll call. And everybody had to stand in attention, and they have to get in their squad pieces, and they have to get in formation. And then that squad leader at the end would have to say, all accountable, all accountable, all accounted for. Or you have to say, someone is missing. Someone is missing. Now, there were ones that they, if they knew that they were excused, they would never say that person is missing because they were already excused. That person was what they call leave, would be on vacation. That person was a sick call. And that person had was already on duty somewhere else. But if it was unexcused, they would, that name would be mentioned in front of maybe 120 guys, 120 soldiers. But there was really one that you didn't want it to hear, and that would be the captain or the first sergeant, two different spots. You did not want them. So basically, the name was mentioned, so-and-so was be absent. And they would, the military's down here, and it says, huh, I want a roll call. Now, some of you are feeling like, ooh, I'm good. I've been here. I'm good. But some of us are not as strong as we think that we are. I'm just asking you, really, what's taking your time? Because I know that we are short on a lot of positions in this church, and I know a lot of it is here. And I know a lot of you could be doing that, and I know a lot of you work hard. I get it. But whatever God calls you to do, He will sustain you. And if you can't get past Sunday morning, and you can't get through Sunday morning, you can't get up on Sunday morning, then you may never see all the awesome things that God has for you. Because God did a great job, an outstanding job in many areas. But my goal is always this: if there's one sheep that goes astray, we're going to go after that sheep the best we can. But I'll also say that what God is doing in New Life is amazing. It is. It's such an amazing that I think that we've been in the woods so long that we don't see all that God really is doing. This crowd should not be doing what this church is not capable of doing what we're doing with a crowd this size. We try to hire all of our paid positions within the church. We try to move within the church and pick people in within the church as much as possible. But here's what I found out. There's been very few of you that's ever told me, I got too much. And that's okay. That's great. I'm glad. That's a good thing. I'm not pushing too hard on us. Because if I kept hearing people say, hey, you're asking too much. I got too much. I'm doing this, and that. And I'm really not done with us. But we have to make sure we're still doing the basics. A basic is to make sure we're in the house of God on Sundays. You want to grow. You know when I grew. You know how I grew as a kid, as a 12, 13, 14-year-old boy, how I grew in the Word, how I grew. It wasn't on my Sunday. Sunday mornings were great, but it was really Sunday nights when the pastor flipped, and there was a lot of teaching. I learned there. I found the teaching in the church. And that's where I expended out a little bit more in my knowledge of the Word, and I've still got a ways to go. Sunday morning is your starting point, but I don't believe it's your ending point. Your ending point is this: when God's house is open, I'm going to try to be there as much as possible because I love the Lord. For each one of you, that you will have you might have to renew your commitment to the Lord when it comes to your worship. Maybe it might be your attendance. Maybe it might be your attitude in the sanctuary. I don't know. But I believe that God is calling us to strengthen our worship attendance. And if our numbers don't go up, God will still do what He's going to do, but it might be without you. I don't know. But God has so much for us. We have a building across the street that we're revamping. God is continuing to send money for it to revamp it. That's His plan, not mine. There's going to be some positions over there that's going to have to come up. Some other things that I think can come up in the near future. And God's going to keep pulling from this to make sure my first part's right. I love the Lord. That has to be first. But I need to make sure that I'm faithful. Not forsaking the assembly. Worship. As the scripture says, some are in the habit of doing. You notice that the word was habit. Habit. You want to spiritually grow. Keep putting your face in the church. You'll spiritually grow. Keep putting your body in the church house and you can't help but grow. Be a willing vessel. Be a willing vessel and you can't help but grow. Be a person that has the, hey, I want to, I'll try it. I don't know how, but I'll try it. You're going to grow. And I'll tell you this, you grow more in your failures than you do in your victories. I've learned more in failures than I have in victories. Spur up one another for that great day when God calls us home. We need to be found faithful, amen? And this church needs to be ready. This church needs to be ready. And I believe this church will be judged just like other churches. If we read that in Scripture. Father, Lord, we're going to open up our hearts, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, during this time that your will would be done. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.